This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We were talking yesterday a lot about the Portland Trailblazers, Joe Cronin, Chauncey Billups, and the rest of the team.
No, we weren't.
Took the podium, and they talked about the season, the future, and everything in between. And it got me to thinking, where we were at the beginning of this year, you go back to October, and where we would have said, all right, let's rank this Blazers roster in order of importance. Top to bottom, moving forward, direction of the franchise, who would those guys be? And as I was going through that in my head, I said, boy, that this feels a lot different coming out of the season as to direction of the franchise, moving forward, who the most important individuals on the roster are.
And that's why I said if you came out of this year and you're sitting here saying that Billups didn't do this or the front office didn't do this, it's like things are drastically different than they were less than a calendar year ago. Going into last year, Anthony Simons, DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant meant a lot to this team. And if you weren't getting something from them because you didn't have the consistency, you didn't have the things you could count on from those other guys, you were going to get mopped.
Yeah.
That was just the reality. Now, going into next season, none of those three players is the most important player for you.
No. And look, I want to take out some guys as we're doing this. Like, we don't need to do Justin Minaya or City Sissoko or Bryce McGowan's, you know, the Delano Banton, right? No, we can take those guys. Duop Reith is out. All right. But let's look at, I mean, top nine.
Okay.
We go top nine on this roster in where we are. With these guys, or 10.
So, 10? I will start this by outlining my team building philosophy. A lot of it has to do with scarcity and scarcity of assets, right? The name of the game is score more points than the other team. But everybody's like, oh, shooting. Shooting has become this thing where, yeah, you need it. There's no doubt about it. But it's a lot more readily available than it was years ago. Shooting used to be this skill that was siloed, right? You had to like go identify, like, this guy is your shooter. I think shooting as a whole has just gotten better in the NBA, not only from three, but just in general. So that's not quite as high on my pecking order. For me, the most scarce asset in the NBA is playmaking with size. Number one, jumbo creators. That's your Giannis's, your LeBron's, your Luka's. Like, you look around the NBA, Tatum, the best players in the NBA are playmakers with size, hands down. So to me, number one is Deni Avdija. 6'9", 245-pound freight train that is always going downhill. To me, the best players in the NBA are the guys who live at the rim. And with the exception, the nod to Steph and Dame. Like, you're talking about generational floor stretchers. Other than a handful of guys, stars are made at the rim. As much as we talk about the three-point line and being able to shoot and all that kind of stuff.
No, it's always, that's what accents the complete package, which is ability to get to the rim.
Consistently and finish and create.
Okay.
Denny has, the insane thing about Denny is he is that guy, but he does have room to grow. He can tighten things up. He can be a better playmaker. He can be better left-handed. He can be better with his turnovers. He can add the little push shot, mid-range pull-up floater, like in between when guys are taking away the deceleration move. Like, those are all things that he mentioned even in the postgame, the exit interview. He was very specific on the things that he's going to work on this offseason. But for me, he's the number one guy. Where I think for a lot of people, it gets interesting is at number two. And as I caveat all this begin with, the game is about scoring more than the opponent. So for me, number two is Shaedon Sharpe.
Oh.
And as much as I love two, and should shock nobody, two will be number three. But Shaedon at number two because they need to be able to score. And again, stars are made at the rim. He has got to improve as a three-point shooter. 31% is not going to do it.
No.
And I actually
believe he's got to stay healthy.
To which, we didn't talk about it. During his exit interview, he talked about his shoulder. I asked him, are you going to have that shoulder worked on in the offseason? He goes, I don't know. We haven't talked about that yet, which didn't like that answer. That set off a few alarm bells in my head of like, he's going to have that shoulder scope this offseason for sure. Again, I'm not reporting anything. That was just the first thing my brain went to of like, you've talked to somebody about that. You've been dealing with your shoulder since you heard it. So, but I think Shaedon can definitely approve to be a three-point shooter. Like 31% is just not sustainable. It's not okay. And I think a lot of that has to do with his footwork is junk at times. It just completely falls apart, and he thinks, because I'm such a great athlete, I'm so on balance that I can just chuck up whatever and it might go in. He needs to refine that, and he can, because when he puts it together, it's a beautiful jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have the consistency to keep it together. Number three, Tumani. What do you need to say? He's the heartbeat of the team. That's what he is. He is the heart and soul of the team. He is where the defense emanates from. He is the hard hat guy. He is the grinder. He is the guy that's going to dive. He's diving on the floor in game 82 against the Lakers for a loose ball in a game that does not matter.
Yeah.
He's a lunatic. And I think he's your tone setter. Number four, I think, is going to maybe catch some people off guard. I'm going to say it's Anthony Simons because, as I just said, shooting is so important. He is the only shooter they have on the team. A guy that can create his own shot all over the floor.
Yeah. I think the question is, how long is Anthony Simons in Portland for? Mm-hmm. And that's a legitimate question. This has been raised not just this past year, but
last two years.
Mm-hmm. Is Anthony Simons going to be somebody who is long for the Portland Trailblazers mm-hmm. rebuild?
And that'll be interesting to see what happens on May 12th.
Yeah.
Because I'll say this now. If the unthinkable happens and the math works out in Portland's favor, and they land Cooper Flagg.
Dude, that's not the unthinkable. I've thought about it all the time.
I know. I try not to think about it because it's just...
I think about it.
Anthony Simons is the best point guard for that team, hands down. Because if you're talking about a team, you're going to move two down to the two, Cooper to the three, Denny to the four, Klinger to the five. You have to have shooting at the one. You have to. And look, Scoot might be that guy, but you need a guy. Chauncey Billups said it multiple times in his exit interview. Ant sees defensive coverages that 90% of the NBA don't see. He sees two pretty much every single time he's on the ball. They are trapping him at 40 feet. It's not because they think he sucks. It's because he's that good offensively. Now, he's got his defensive limitations. He knows that. But the gravity that he has when he's on the floor, even when he's not shooting well, teams do not want him to get loose because of what he can do. And that is a thing. If the Blazers don't have that, they suffer drastically. I mean, from the games he's not in, you can see the shooting stuff fall away and how much room guys have to operate.
Faux show.
Denny Avdia doesn't have driving lanes when Ant's not on the floor. Like it becomes harder for him. Number five, it's a coin toss for me between Donovan Klinger and Scoot Henderson. And so much of that is dependent on what happens on May 12th. And I hate that that's the reality, but it is. Because I look at that, Donovan Klingon's defense this year ended up being better than I anticipated.
Fifth in the NBA in blocks per game.
He's and his defensive rebound rate, or it's, not his defensive rebound rate, his defensive field goal percentage, which is a little skewed, according to Second Spectrum, I believe he finished fifth.
Well, and they protected him a lot over the course of the season, not putting him in unfavorable matchups. I mean, yes. they really did. Well, like, he would not play in games where he was going up against a dominant scoring big, early, especially early in the year.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Well, and they also they put him in drop a lot. And again, with something we didn't talk about from the press conference, did you hear what Donovan said about this year?
Mm-mm.
He admitted to being out of shape.
Particularly
with after the MCL injury. And I saw a bunch of people get mad at me because I said he wasn't in shape. And like, oh, no, Chauncey Billups is not playing. Guys, he wasn't in shape. He wasn't. He put on weight when he got hurt. And I talked to folks that talked to the UConn staff. That was something they had to focus on him there with. He's not lazy. He's just a kid. Like, doesn't eat. I'll tell you this. Most young NBA players, their diets suck.
Yeah, I'm going to put Donovan in at five ahead of Scoot just because of... No matter what, he is going to be a part of this organization moving forward, and you cannot say the same for Scoot Henderson, you know, because you mentioned it, Anthony Simons. If they get a guy like Cooper Flagg...
You got to have the shooting.
Then you got to have the shooting.
And the self, and not just three-point shooting, self-created shooting.
Yeah.
And Ant is the only guy on this team who has consistently shown that he can create his own shot at all three levels and be efficient at it.
So number six is Scoot?
Scoot.
Okay.
And look, this could change if all of a sudden Scoot is an off the bounce self creator.
And he's gotten a lot better. His spot up shooting was a huge hole. He's gotten a lot better at that. He's got to continue to develop and work on his game. But I think people forget he's going to be entering his third year as still a puppy. You know, he is super young. He's going to be, what, 21 years old? He'll turn 21 during his third year of the NBA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 22.
In
February, because he just turned 21.
Oh, that's right.
But, I mean, yeah, you look at where these guys all kind of sit into this. There's a question of growth and fit for almost everyone. That's the interesting thing. When you get down to 6, 7, 8, so much of it depends on this summer, right? Like you look at it and you go, I'm almost tempted to put Matisse Thybulle at 6.
Oh, okay.
The level of basketball that he played in his final 15 games, it was, and I mentioned this during the press conference to him when I asked him a question. I'm like, to me, man, it looks like you've played the freest and best basketball of your career over these last 15 games. Am I crazy or is that something that you feel? And he said, no, absolutely. He mentioned how Chauncey Billups and the training staff and the support staff found ways to keep him so engaged. And talking to Roy Rogers, the defensive coach, about how all the different lineups that they could put him in and how versatile he could be. Because we never got to see Thiessen 2 on the floor at the same time.
Right.
I mean, we did in the very end.
Last two games.
But I'm talking about with the rest of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested in that. Because if you're talking about the identity of this team being defense, who's the first guy you think about?
Timoni Kamara.
And then?
Matisse Thybulle.
And yet you didn't get to see that deployed with the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
And so I look at that and I go, it's not the biggest swing thing, but boy, if all of a sudden Thies is a 37, 38% shooter from three, which it looks like he might be like a viable three-point shooter, which is a crazy thing when you consider where he came from. But looking at him, I go, he's a guy that could be a swing for these guys in those second units. Because if he's more than just a next action guy, if he's attacking the rim occasionally on closeouts, he's being disruptive defensively, he's being a connector offensively, like all the little dials are just turned up and trying to maximize a role player, that's a pretty big deal. After that, I think it's pretty easy. It's Chris Murray.
Oh.
And the reason I'm saying Chris over Jeremy and DA is because I think Jeremy is probably gone.
Yeah.
I would be pretty... You don't believe it until it happens, but I'd be pretty stunned if Jeremy wasn't here.
Hardest part is going to be the what is the return going to be when he's got $109 million left on his deal?
In the same thing for DA, I think the Blazers are going to make a hard decision this summer. And I think they're going to opt to go with Donovan, which I don't know how well it's going to go over with DA. He's in a contract year.
Is that really a hard decision?
Well, no.
DeAndre Ayton played really well.
DA's a better player. Full stop. He's a better player.
Yeah, but you're talking about a guy on an expiring deal.
That's the thing, though. That's where the issue arises. How much of a problem is it for DA? Because he's going into a contract here. That's why it's hard.
Well, I know. But, I mean, if you make that decision, you're not going to keep the vet around. You got to ship him out.
You have to find some way to do it, right? But, again, that's the interesting part of that. Now, the next guy on this list would be higher up, but it's the injuries. It's Rob. Because they made the choice to keep him, and they didn't deal him.
Do you have Jeremy at nine or Rob after Chris Murray?
I have Rob after Chris.
All right. Robert Williams.
And that's solely because of the injuries.
Okay.
You just don't know.
Yep.
Otherwise, Rob's probably six on this list for me because his impact is so great. So that's your eight, basically, is DA kind of slots in at eight. And I look at that and I go, that's pretty good, but you're still missing something.
Well, we're at nine.
With what?
With Robert Williams. He's nine.
Okay, so that's your nine. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have DeAndre Ayton and Jeremy Grant kind of at 10A and 10B. Huh?
And it's not because I don't think they're good. It's because I don't think they're long for. And as much as people say that about Anthony, there's a world where I can see Anthony staying here.
Absolutely.
Because of what he does. Nobody else on the roster can do.
Boy, I think, and this is exactly kind of the direction. Some of them were different than what I was thinking in my brain. Mm-hmm. But if you were to go back at the beginning of the year, you would have said it was Anthony Simons, mm-hmm. Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton. And then you would get into, all right, where's this question
Who's
mark?
The next guy?
Who's going to be the next guy? Is it going to be Scoot? Is it going to be Donovan? But as we roll out of it, you have number one, Denny Avdia. Number two, Shaedon Sharpe. Number three, Tumani Kamara. Number four, Anthony Simons. Number five, Donovan Clingan. By the way, Simons would have started this year at number one. He is at four. Five is Donovan Clingan. Six is Scoot Henderson. Seven, Matisse Thybulle. Eight, Chris Murray. Nine, Robert Williams III. And then DeAndre Ayton and Jeremy Grant, just because of the uncertainty about their future here in Portland.
Yes, and both those guys would be higher, but...
Based on the importance moving forward, though,
again, I'm talking about going forward.
Yeah,
that's where I factor this.
Boy, it's a big shift and a big change. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's still, when you go through this, there's still a million question marks. There are a million question marks in there. Like number two is Shaedon Sharpe, mm-hmm. who cannot shoot well and cannot stay healthy. That's number two,
well,
right?
Scoot is the guy who's actually more injury prone even than Shaedon.
Yeah,
through his first 2 years, Scoot has picked up a lot of knocks. Shaedon, the injury that he had was the core muscle injury. That's the real injury.
Yeah,
the shoulder's a problem because he had it his rookie year at first, and they dealt with it, and then he had the shoulder this year, but he only missed a couple games for the shoulder.
Well, a couple of games at the beginning of the year because it was. In training camp,
yes,
that he missed all of.
Oh, yeah. But otherwise, Shaedon's been pretty damn healthy this year.
Yeah. All right.
Scoot has got injuries top to bottom.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, if you look at Scoot in the G League, same issue.
Yeah.
Like, I'm starting to wonder if Scoot's a 65-70 game guy just because of his size.
The other question here is, if you were to say importance versus who are the ranked the most dependable, I think then that list even changes more because then it would go like Denny
to Tease until this year.
Yeah. I mean, and then it's Murray. Like that is also the inherent question mark around this organization is you have nothing you can depend on really and nothing that you can lean on and say, this is our anchor.
Yeah.
And for so many years, it was Damian Lillard, right? Mm-hmm. And also CJ McCollum.
Because CJ did not miss games.
Dude. No, he didn't.
No.
Dependable, reliable. You knew exactly what you were going to get every single night.
Once he got his feet squared away after his first 2 years in the league, because he dealt with that foot issue at both at Lehigh and then here, it was his rookie year, I think he broke his foot.
He had the Liz Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when he stopped going into the paint.
Yeah.
That's when he turned into the mid-range floater king.
All right.